Gospel Life Church. Y'all ready to help me with the vision? Who are we? Why do we exist? What are we doing? We're living the to and to glorify God and make disciples. That's who we are. We cannot do it in our own power. It has to be the gospel. Jesus is our only hope. I told you about my great-grandfather. The way that he signed his little pamphlets when he was writing was, his name was Morris Coleman, and he would say, an Israelite whom Jesus found. And I'm so glad for a God that comes to us when we can't get to him. So it's what we're studying about. In Luke, we've been just slowly walking through Luke. And if you remember back to the very beginning, the very beginning of our study, this is written to Theophilus by Dr. Luke, the historian, who is putting together a clear account of all the things concerning Jesus. This is 400 years of silence, and then Gabriel comes and meets Zechariah in the temple and tells him that him and his wife Elizabeth, who was barren, were going to have a baby in their old age, and this baby was going to be the forerunner to the Christ, to the Savior. And they're talking about John the Baptist. And then Gabriel visits Mary, and she's a young lady, probably a teenager, and a virgin, and she is going to conceive a child, and his name is going to be Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And we've been walking through this story. Last week, we looked at what we call a lot of times the Christmas story. The first part, anyway. I guess this would be part two. We're in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 last week. We'll be in verses 8 through 20 today. It came time for Mary to give birth. But before that, they had to travel 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We always picture it on a donkey, but could have been footing it 90 miles pregnant. I mean, like third trimester, long, rough journey. And Jesus was born. Humility of humilities. Not in a palace fit for a king, but basically in a stable, maybe a cave for animals, and placed in a manger. Okay, so that's where the story left off last week, and that's where it picks up this week. Okay, so let's pray. Let's just ask God to help us as we study, and we're going to study about some shepherds and some angels. Father, thank you for the gospel. There's a power of salvation to all who believe, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. God, thank you for the gospel, for the good news. And God, thank you that while we were running from you, you were so gracious to pursue us. While we were your enemies, you were so gracious to reconcile us to yourself. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to understand and apply your word rightly to our lives today, that you would, God, just speak to every person in this room right where we are, God. Show us who you are. Help us to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, now that would be the region of Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. All right, now, let's unpack it. I got two main points for you today. Two main points. The first one, verses 8 through 14. This is such a grand message. A grand message is given to such a lowly bunch. Shepherds were not respected in this context. So we got this grand message that's given to such a lowly bunch. In the same region, that's the region near Bethlehem, there were shepherds. This lowly bunch of society, considered religiously unclean. They were always at work. They couldn't go to the temple. They missed out on the religious rituals that would make them clean. And they were in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. So what are they doing? They're doing their job. This is their daily mundane duty. This is just a regular old day in the life of a shepherd. Well, regular old night, right? And they're in the field, it's nighttime, and what happens? Please don't just read over this without really thinking, like, how amazing this scene would have been. An angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. Now, there's a few phrases that you usually see in Scripture when an angel comes on the scene. Usually it's, "Don't be afraid." And sometimes it's even, "Get up." Why did they hit the deck? Because their presence was terrifying. It was otherly. It was amazing. So, don't miss it. The glory of the Lord shone around them. This glory, this manifestation of God's presence, this brightness, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Can you picture in the contrast of the pitch black darkness of the night, this glowing being, this angel that is being illuminated by the glory of the Lord? Can you imagine the brightness? Think about it. Nighttime, hillside pasture, no light pollution, right? Like from my house, you look north, we're living way out here, and you can see the glow of Memphis, you know? No light pollution. Think there's no electricity back then, right? Pitch black dark. Moon out, stars out, and bam! The terrifying, blazing, overwhelming glory of the Lord. I mean, how do you illustrate that? This absolutely pales in comparison, but you know how you go to the movies during the like daytime and you're in this dark movie theater, and then you walk out that little exit door, and it's just like you can't see because it's so bright outside. You forget that it's daytime. It's just that brightness. Or in the morning, I get up and I got a couple lamps on in the living room, drinking my coffee, reading my Bible. Micah comes in there and he's like, he can't see because of the lamp is on. Can you imagine? Maybe they had a campfire, had the moon and the stars, the darkness, and then all of a sudden the radiance of the angel's presence. It was terrifying. So what happens next? How do they respond? Well, they were filled with great fear. They knew that they were in the presence of something awesome, something so much different than they were themselves. They were filled with great fear. You think about this. It's terrifying. Can you see it? Don't read over it. This was astounding. This was supernatural. This is not a normal day in the neighborhood. This was the glory of the Lord that they instantly knew they fell short of. Think about Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short. They fell short, and they knew it in this presence. They were filled with awe, with reverence, with fear. But now the angel speaks to them in verse 10, and he says, fear not, don't worry. I'm not here to give you what you deserve, because I bring you good news. I bring you good news that's going to bring you great joy. Have you experienced the joy of the Lord? I remember when I first came to Christ, the overwhelming joy that trumps everything else. It trumps everything else. The joy of the Lord is not based on circumstance. It trumps circumstances. I remember literally thinking, man, even if I was in jail, I would still be ecstatic right now because of the joy that I have that permeates everything. The good news that God is not counting our sins against us, but is redeeming us, forgiving us, adopting us, loving us, being patient and long-suffering towards us, restoring us to Himself, forgiving us of our sins, making us righteous, keeping His promise with us, the joy that no matter what happens today, I'm going to be with Him forever in eternity. No matter what I suffer today, I'm not going to suffer in all of eternity. I'm going to be made right. There's a day coming that I don't have to put up with this flesh. A day coming I don't have to put up with temptation. A day coming that we don't have to put up with the struggle of fighting against sin. The joy that this brings, this good news. And he said, in verse 10, it's going to be for all the people. It's for all. This good news that brings great joy is offered to everyone. It's for all the people. But what is this good news? Look what he says in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who will save us from our sin. I remember JP, where you at, JP? Come on. When JP came to Christ, y'all remember us talking about this when we baptized him. He was talking to Jason Ford one day, and he told Jason, I got saved. And he said, what'd you get saved from? And he said, from God. And in a way, that's actually right. Because of our sin, we all fall short. And we deserve God's judgment. Now, think about it like this, because we don't like to talk about God's wrath. We don't like to talk about judgment. Like, we want to talk about love and things that make us feel good. But we can't appreciate the good news until we understand the bad news. We fall short, and we've sinned against God, and God's a judge, a moral judge. Now think about it like this. If you went before, you went to the courthouse, and there was a judge who is elected to uphold the law, and there's a lawbreaker there who's guilty. I mean, slap, plain out, guilty. And the judge says, well, it's your lucky day. I'm not going to uphold the law today. I'm going to let you go free. Now, that guy might think, cool. But what if he broke the law and he broke it against you? What if he, let's just be real vulgar. What if he, like, killed one of your family members? And the judge is just going to let him go? Would you appreciate that judge? No, you would not. A good judge has to uphold the law. And God is our judge. And when we break the law, we deserve judgment. Now, that's why we need a Savior. And the beauty of this is, and we talked about it last week, and we'll talk about it all through Luke, this is not just about a baby being born in Bethlehem. This is about a baby who's going to grow up, who's going to perfectly keep God's law, who's never going to sin, who deserves no judgment himself. Yet, this Savior that we're talking about, this little baby that was lying in a manger, who's going to save the world, dies on a cross. That is crucifixion. That is execution. Though he never committed sin, the wages of sin is death. He died to pay our sin debt. He died to take away our judgment. He died to save us from our sin. He died to save us from the punishment that we rightly deserve. He's our substitute. He takes our place. He absorbs that wrath, that judgment on himself, that we could be forgiven of our sin. He's our Savior. And it says in verse 11, who is Christ the Lord? These are two titles, actually. Jesus is called the Christ so much that we treat it like his name, right? Jesus Christ. Christ is a title. Lord is a title. He is Lord. This baby in a manger is the one who spoke all things into existence. He existed in eternity past as God the Son. He is Lord. He is God. He is mighty. Yet he humbled himself to come and be born, that he could be our Savior. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one that has come to take away our sin. The angel said, here's a sign. I'm going to tell you how to find him. Verse 12. You're going to find a baby. Now, think about the angels hearing this message for the first time. The Lord has come. He's a Savior. He's going to take away the sins of the world. He's going to bring great joy. He's a baby lying in a manger. Huh? What? Wait, what? A manger? Now, wait a minute. I thought kings were supposed to be in palaces. I thought they're supposed to have silk blankets and silver spoons. Like, what is going on with this Savior, this King, this Lord, born in little bitty old Bethlehem, born in a place for animals, born and placed, wrapped up in just cloth and placed in a manger. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. That's not normal. It's going to stand out. That's the one. That's the Messiah. That's the Lord. That's the Savior. You go to town and you look for the baby in a manger because that's not a normal thing. Humility of all humilities. God comes to earth as a man and he was born in the lowliest ways, placed in a manger because there's no room for them in an inn. And now, here comes the crescendo. You ready? Verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host. So there's not just one angel now. It's a great multitude. Now, when you hear multitude, do you think a dozen? When you hear multitude, do you think 100? When you hear multitude, I'm thinking thousands. I don't know. But you're talking about a hillside choir. You're talking about lighting up the area with the glory of the Lord. Can you picture this choir, this multitude of angels? And what are they doing? They're praising God. What are they doing? They're saying glory to God in the highest. That's the highest heavens. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This multitude of angels cannot contain their praise. It has happened. Y'all, don't miss this. After thousands of years, it's finally happened. Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior, has come. The God-man has arrived. His glory is in the highest heavens. And now, in the lowliest ways, he comes and he brings peace on earth. Wow. Wow. This was the first time you heard that story. What if we look back on this with familiarity? What if you were one of those angels? Sorry, shepherds. I mean angels too, right? But I meant to say shepherd. What if you were one of those shepherds and this just happened in your presence? Would you think you'd just go back to bed? I mean, this is amazing stuff. So how do we apply something like this today? Like, we're not shepherds. We're not in the fields by night. We don't have a multitude of angels coming to tell us this message. But still today, guys, this is the greatest message ever delivered. And we get to share it with other people. We have been entrusted with this message. So let me ask you a question. Who do you know that needs to hear this message of a Savior, of Christ the Lord, that left the glory and the splendor and the worship and the recognition of heaven to be born as a baby, to grow up as a young man? I mean, he was a teenager, y'all. I mean, he went through pimples and the ugly duckling stages. And I mean, think about it. This is God becoming a man, living the perfect life that we couldn't live, and dying the death that we should have died, that we might be saved and forgiven and joyful. This is a good story. Who do you know that's far from God? Who do you know that needs forgiveness of their sin? Who do you know that needs release from bondage, that needs peace and joy that only comes through the gospel? Who can you go to and tell? Who can you pray for? This applies to us today, right? We got folks that need to know this stuff. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you hadn't done it already, maybe you've done it and you've kind of slacked off. I'll be honest, I've slacked off on this. Make a list of at least 5 people that you know that are far from God and start praying for them every day. That's an easy application. There are people that need to know this message. Maybe they're not ready to hear it. Well, start praying. Pray every day. God, draw them to yourself. God, open their eyes. God, show them who you are. Show them how good you are. Show them their need for a Savior. You know, I was running hard from God. I was happy in my sin. I did not want to be in church. I did not want God. Matter of fact, to be quite honest with you, I'd come to a place where I kind of hoped he wasn't even real because I didn't want to deal with him. And then Dusty started praying for me by name. And Guy. And Forrest. And Slim. Praying, God, open their eyes. Show them who you are. And through those prayers, the Lord began to stir in my heart. Show me my emptiness. Show me my need. I started trying to clean my life up so I'd go to church and not feel guilty. And I could not get clean. If you would have invited me to church a month before, I very well might have cussed you out. I didn't want to go. My mind, church was filled up with hypocrites or people that are really boring. I didn't want to be either one of them. And then the Lord pursued me through those prayers. I'm telling you guys, I've seen it through Slim, man. I've been telling people, Slim been dragging people into heaven through his prayers by the nape of their necks. Pray. Pray like God wants to save them. And pray like God can save them. Beg God to open their eyes. Beg God to draw them to himself. There are people all around us that need the gospel. So pray for them every day. And then seek opportunities to share the good news with them. You don't have to be overbearing, but you should be intentional. You never know how God's working. The night that Dusty came to my house, he was coming to share the gospel. 5 of us over there. And he said the whole ride there, he was praying, God, I'm scared. Help me. God, I don't know what to say. Help me. And y'all, I'm telling you, everything he said was exactly what I needed to hear. We have a message of good news and great joy that we have been entrusted with. We have to go tell. We have to go tell. Go get them. Share it with strangers. It doesn't have to be the 5 people on your list. It might be standing in line at the grocery store. It might be at the gas station. I mean, on Saturdays, we get together the last Saturday of every month so we can practice this stuff together. Go out there and just try to pray for folks and love on folks and get into gospel conversations. Yesterday, we talked about the 20-second testimony. 20 seconds. You can share a brief testimony. 2 words before Christ, a sentence on how you came to know him, and 2 words after. I want to encourage you. Don't miss the opportunities God gives you daily to tell people about his goodness. The opportunities abound. They're everywhere. Pray in the morning, God, show me. Lead me. Who do you want me to talk to today? Help me. I'm scared. Help me. I don't know what to say. Help me. He will. He will. So go tell. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. This is good news. We need to be announcing this kind of salvation. And here's something else. Just you got these angels. I think today we almost read this story and we think about, well, angels were back then. There's a spiritual realm going on right now all around us. Don't miss out on that. Recognize the reality of the spiritual realm. It's all around us. They're not ghosts. They're angels, and there's demons, and there's a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on. To me, When I start thinking about these angelic beings that are mighty, that are so much bigger than us. A demon is a fallen angel. And I'm not trying to get off on this right now, but just this stuff can be spooky, right? Like we cannot take on these kind of forces, but God can. It reminds me, stay close to your shepherd. Stay close to your shepherd. And just one more application, simple, out of that passage. Live for God's kingdom. Too often, we get distracted by temporal things that are not eternal. Think about it. Live for God's kingdom. So, we just looked at such a grand message that was given to such a lowly bunch. What happens next? Think they just went back to doing what they were doing? Here's your next point. Such a lowly bunch delivers such a grand message. Check this out. When the angels went away, verse 15, they went back into heaven. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Do you see their confident expectation? You think they didn't just nudge each other and say, hey, you think that really happened? You think there's a baby in a manger? I don't know. Let's go look tomorrow when it's daylight. No. Immediately, they're like, we got to see this with our eyes. Let's go check this out. They went with haste, which means in a hurry. They didn't waste any time. In verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. That's Jesus. That's Christ the Lord. That's what this good news is all about. That's the Savior that the angels told them about. Verse 17, when they saw it, that's like everything that the angels had just told them about. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now, listen to this, verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. All. It makes you wonder, who all was there? Was this just Mary and Joseph? Were there other people that heard the labor to come check it out? Was it the other people around on the way there and on the way back? When it says all, I'm picturing more than just Mary and Joseph. It sounds like they couldn't keep this to themselves. Can you imagine them having such an experience and just sitting on it and not sharing that with everybody? Like on the way into town. Hey, aren't y'all supposed to be keeping watch over those sheep? Man, ain't nobody studying those sheep. We just saw a bunch of angels. What? Y'all done lost y'all's mind. I'm telling you, they said that there's a baby in a manger. We're going to go find him. He's the Savior of the world. You think they just sat on that? They could not keep it to themselves. They couldn't contain it. They had to talk about it. Can you imagine being one of those shepherds and not telling everybody that you knew and everybody that you saw along the way? I mean, how could they not? This is God in His fashion showing out. This lowly bunch of shepherds are chosen by God to deliver such an amazing message. It's not about the messenger. You ever feel unworthy? Do you ever choose to not tell somebody about the gospel because you don't feel worthy yourself? Such a lowly bunch delivers such a grand message. This is holy God. Gentle and lowly Savior. With majestic, terrifying glory. Lying in a manger. Using lowly shepherds to herald His arrival. The King has come. Jesus Christ is Lord. Even while laying in a manger. Doesn't that blow your mind? Lord. God. Almighty. Laying in a manger. That'll crank your tractor. Lord God. Almighty, laying in a manger. Don't miss it, y'all. So what did Mary do? Verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things. She was pondering them in her heart. I don't think we're good these days at pondering. Man, this day of information overload, this day where we got computers in our pocket, where every time we wonder anything at all, we can just ask Siri and she'll look it up. This day where we don't know how to sit still and be quiet. We don't know how to think deeply. We just want to be entertained and distracted, scrolling and flipping. We're not good at pondering. We're so busy. There's not enough quiet to ponder. There's so much noise in our lives. There's not enough quiet for good pondering. Mary's treasuring these things up. The angel told her that it was going to happen, and it's happened just as he said. The angels told the shepherds, and they come and tell her everything that they saw and heard. She's treasuring them up. She's storing them up in her heart. And she's pondering. She's meditating on these things. How can you make a habit to treasure God's word and to ponder it in your heart? What does it look like for us today to ponder God's word, to meditate on it? I don't encourage you if you don't. Don't just read it. Study God's word. We use a sword method in our small groups. By the way, you need to be in one of our small groups if you're not. We got groups that meet on Sunday night. We got groups that meet on Wednesday and Thursday. I'd love to help you find a group. And we use the sword method when we study. In this passage, what do we learn about God? What do we learn about man? Is there any sin to avoid or any promises to claim or any examples to follow or commands to obey? Pondering God's word, thinking about it, not just reading it and forgetting it, but chewing on it. I want to encourage you to memorize it. Make a note card. And read it every day. Memorize it. And when you memorize it, meditate on it. Think about it. What does this mean? What does that mean? Why does it say that? Why does it say it like that? Pondering God's word. Using your sanctified imagination, thinking about what it would be like. So now the shepherds return. What were they doing as they went? Verse 20, they're glorifying and they're praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Don't miss that either. It all happened just as it had been told them. Don't you just see God all over this story? What He says will come to be. So how does this apply to us today? Let's move on. I think we need to make a habit of getting to know God in His Word. Who does God say that He is? Trust God. Seek God. Seek Him in the Word. Seek and worship Jesus. These shepherds stopped what they were doing to go seek out and worship Jesus. Proclaim His message of salvation to all. Be encouraged that God uses the lowly to deliver such a grand message. We don't deserve to be heralds of such a wonderful Savior, but we get to be. We get to go and tell this message. I encourage you to treasure God's Word and store it up in your heart. Treasure the works of God in your life. Ponder. Spend some time this week pondering what God is doing in and around you. We miss it so much. Spend some time pondering. What's He doing in your heart? Meditate on His Word. Maybe it'd be good for you just to intentionally carve out time to just sit still and be quiet before the Lord this week. Get on your porch. Get a cup of coffee and ponder. Just spend some time pondering. Pondering God, His Word. These shepherds, these lowly stewards were entrusted with a grand message. You and I are entrusted with this same message, this good news, this great news of good joy. And just like the shepherds that night, we get to go and tell everyone about this wonderful Savior. Well, here's my question for you. Do you know Him? Do you know the Savior? Do you love Him? Has there been a time in your life that you recognized your need for salvation? Tell you what, the guys come up and we're gonna pray. We're gonna have some. We're gonna have a time to respond. Okay. Here's the idea. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to whatever God's doing in your heart. This will be a fun invitation time. You can sit where you are. You can stand up and praise. You can come to the back and find me or Megan or somebody else to talk to and pray with. If you got any questions about what we talked about, feel free to come back and talk about that today. If God's convicting you, like, man, I've known this stuff, but I've never really put it to practice. I've never truly surrendered my life to the Lord. Today is a great day to trust Christ. Today's a great day to lay it down. Maybe you're saved, but you've never been baptized, and you're like, I don't want to be ashamed. I'm not going to be a secret Christian. I want to testify that I follow Christ. Today is the day for us to make it our life's ambition to follow Him and make Him known, guys. So here's your invitation, basically. What's God doing in your heart? What's He stirring in your heart? Respond. Maybe you sit there and pray for somebody that you know that needs Christ. Maybe you text them. Well, you can't text them in here because we don't have service. Text them today. Maybe you make your list of five right now. But while we sing, y'all go ahead and stand. We're going to sing, and we're going to do the offering, and we're going to have an invitation all at the same time. I'm going to pray. And we're going to ask God to help us to obey. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to this earth and dying in our place that we might be saved. Thank you for including us in your plan of redemption. Thank you for seeking us out and finding us. Thank you for sending us. God, I pray that you help us to respond today in worship, maybe even repentance, in faith. God, if there's people in this room who don't know you, would you draw them to yourself today? Save their souls. God, help us to respond to you. And when we leave this place, Lord, help us to leave it with lives surrendered to you, with joy in our hearts, and your gospel on our tongues. Pray it in Jesus' name.